What is going on, everybody? It's your boy Sway Max Senior, right back at it with another DraftKings breakdown. We got the Hammer Fist UFC 241. We got a super special edition of the Hammer Fist today. We actually have one of, if not the, best DraftKings / MMA touts just in the industry. Just to give you a little background on Kyle Marley, he has qualified for that Knockout Queen qualifier several times. He's in it right now, actually, trying to take it down. You got to win tickets to that bad boy. He's been doing it for a while. When I actually started getting into just kind of breaking down the fights myself and just kind of doing my own research, Marley was a big influence on me. I actually used to listen to Half the Battle. I mean, I still do. Used to listen to Half the Battle and, that last minute or so, I just kind of really took to how he basically approached the contest and how he kind of just leveraged his play. So something to keep in mind, definitely, when we talk to him later on. Don't really ask him about that specifically, but it does come up. So make sure that you guys listen. But yeah, just a really awesome guy. He's working with several different companies right now, just doing his thing. So we were very blessed that he joined us. So he will be talking about the last three fights of the night. So we'll get through this rather quickly and then let you guys enjoy the magic. So first off, we'll start off again. This is UFC 241, Cormier versus Miocic 2. This is a pay-per-view fight. So most of the card is going to be on ESPN, and then the main card is going to be a pay-per-view. The first fight of the night, we have Sabina Mazo versus Shayna Dobson. This is a flyweight bout. To be completely honest with you, I'll go over the numbers, but real quickly, this is one really that we're most likely going to fade. It's the first fight of the night. It's a curtain jerker. Dobson is coming in at +102 as the dog. On the flip side, Mazo is -126 favorite. She is 8,000 and Dobson is 8,200. So again, another close fight. I just don't like the level. And like the caliber of fighter that both of these women are. I mean, yes, the girl beat Ariel Beck TKO and then the second round. But like, come on, she fought Lauren Mueller, and couldn't do anything with her, really went to a decision. Won the decision, but like, I'm sorry, lost the decision and then only scored 39 DraftKings points. So just not impressive. I wouldn't be mad at you if you guys want to take some shots here. But the price range, I don't like. There's not really too many dogs I like on this card anyway. But I mean, at the price range with it being the first fight of the night, it being a women's fight, which they usually don't tend to end early, I do think that this is one that we can avoid, so I'll most likely be avoiding it here. Next up, we have Brandon Davis versus Kyung Ho Kang. This is a great fight, you guys. We have a bantamweight fight, which means they're 135ers, -199 for Kang. On the flip side, Davis is the +165 dog. Brandon Davis is 7,300 on DraftKings, and Ho Kang is coming back at 8,900 on DraftKings. So we have our first big discrepancy of the night. Right off the bat, I will tell you that yes, Brandon Davis, he's like 3-2 in the UFC. He did just beat Randy Costa, subbed him out in the second round. But usually even when he wins, he doesn't score very high. Now at 7,300, if he can give us a 90 or 87, it's not guaranteed that he'll be optimal, but, you will definitely be in the running for that optimal lineup. He did have one fight where he had 114 significant strikes, but, nothing more than 30, 40, in any of his other fights. But I just watching Brandon, he's an exciting fighter. I believe he's going to try to keep this fight standing. He has pretty good hands. His cardio is outstanding. On the flip side though, I think Kang is probably going to stand in front of him a little bit, try to bang, try to show off his hands, try to show his power. I think if he gets popped too many times, he'll probably shoot for a takedown. I think that's where this fight plays out, honestly. Kang at 8,900, when he wins, he usually scores pretty well. He only has one win where he didn't score, basically 100 points. But even, but you know, when he wins, even by submission, whether it be in the third or the first round, he'll still give you about 100 points or so. He will look for the takedown. He will look for the advances, the reversals, all the stuff that we need for DraftKings. He usually puts up a lot of significant strikes, but they usually come, in decisions or in 3 round fights. So just the 8,900 price tag, I'll be honest, I don't really like it. I don't really like it. I will have some ownership to this fight. Kang is my pick here. I think he'll get it to the ground, but it's going to be tough to pay that 8,900 when we have some bangers coming in later on in the card, that Marley and I will talk about. So it's tough. I won't be mad at you if you want to take some shots. He definitely has paths to victory and he's my pick here. But for DraftKings purposes, I think I'll carry low ownership to both of these guys, probably relative to the field. So we'll see. All right. Next up, we have Hannah Cyphers versus Jody Escobel. This is a women's strawweight fight. So they're tiny, 115 pounders. Jody Escobel is coming in at plus 233 dog, and Hannah Cyphers is the minus 292 favorite. Where do I start? Hannah Cyphers, super quiet. I mean, she was just telling Megan O'Leary, like, you know, you can come to my farm any day. Like, I mean, that's how she talks, just super quiet and like innocent type thing. But the girl scraps. The funny thing is, I saw a picture on Twitter where somebody was like, oh my gosh, she's so much smaller than Jody. But I think, you know, Jody had some heels on, might have just a little more muscle on her, but I think Hannah's the taller fighter. Like, I think she'll be the bigger fighter out there as far as length, height, that kind of stuff. Like, Joe, talk to me when Jody wins a fight. Yeah, she had to fight KK. Yeah, she had to fight Jessica Aguilar, but Jessica Aguilar is old. She should have worked her. Angela Hill has made a lot of improvements lately. So, you know, all's fair, I guess. In that loss, she didn't look too bad in it. But at 7,000, and then with Hannah being 9,200, again, this is going to be a tough fight for me to call. The 9,200 price tag, I'll be honest, I don't want to pay that for Hannah Cyphers. I don't want to do it. I don't want to pay 9,200. So, I mean, just for that fact, I'll probably have minimal, if none, close to none ownership on Escobel. This fight will be close to a fade to me, but I will have some Hannah Cyphers just in case, a small percentage. But at that 9K range, you got to think about this, guys. We need her to outscore everyone almost. I mean, she's got to outscore, you know, all these guys. She's got to outscore Cormier, Stipe, Pettis, Diaz, Romero, Costa. Like, she's got to outscore all these guys. I mean, she's damn near got to outscore Devontae Smith, who's basically a minus 1,000 favorite. You know, it's like, so it's just going to be tough to pay that price tag. I'm going to have minimal ownership and we'll keep it moving, guys. Next up, we have Casey Kinney going up against Manny Bermudez. This is a bantamweight fight. Casey Kinney's plus 124 and Manny's coming back at minus 149. Manny's 8,400 on DraftKings. Kinney is flipping back at 7,800. I actually really like this fight. This will be an exciting fight. If we look at Manny Bermudez's just log, his history here, this is the cheapest he's ever been. This is the cheapest he's ever been. I will say he's sub or bust. So there's kind of your breakdown. This is a sub or bust fight. He's sub or bust. But in all of his fights, he has gotten a hold of that submission. He scored over 100 points in all of his fights. At 8,400, if he scores over 100 or if he gets to that 100 mark, he's pretty much going to be optimal. So we definitely have to take some shots there. On the flip side, he's going up against Casey Kinney. Casey Kinney is, he really only has the one fight in the UFC. Beat Ray Borg, excuse me, beat Ray Borg by decision. He looked good. He had two takedowns, had some advances, some reversals. He only had 32 significant strikes. At 6,800 though, he was optimal. You know, more than likely he had 83 DraftKings points. He might not have been in the Bink lineup, but I bet you he was the cheapest fighter of the night that night. He probably put up a lot of, he probably helped a lot of people win some money. I'd have to go back to tell you for sure, but, that cheap scoring that much, that's basically 100, you know, from a 7K guy. So I just think this is going to be a tough fight. I think he's going to try and draw it out. You know, I mean, like I say with these young guys, it's kind of tough to know what we're going to get from fight to fight, but he's very cheap again. I just think this is a fight that we're going to target here. I have a little bit of ownership to Casey Kinney. Manny Bermudez is my play here. With Kinney being 7,800 though, if he was a little bit cheaper, I'd probably have a little more shares of him, but at 7,800, I think we can taper it. But I think this is a sneaky fight to target. Manny's my pick. It's sub or bust, but Manny's my pick and what might be a funky card. So. All right, next up we have Jakar Close going up against Christos Giagos. This is a lightweight bout, excuse me, 155 pounders. Giagos is plus 142 dog, and Jakar is coming in at minus 170 favorite. Jakar is 9,000 on DraftKings, and Giagos is 7,200 on DraftKings. So this is one of those fights where I think it's going to be very, very entertaining from a fight standpoint. For DraftKings, I don't like this fight at all. Giagos can score a lot. He does have, I mean, he can be a relentless wrestler. This is true. You know, he's got 11 takedowns in his last two fights. I mean, that just kind of tells you what you need to know. So, I mean, he's got the takedowns at 7,200. If he can rack up some takedowns and maybe get a finish, or just rack up some takedowns and rack up some significant strikes. You know, in his last fight, he beat Demir Hadzevich by decision, had 47 significant strikes, six takedowns. It was good for 92.5 DraftKings points at 7,100. That's optimal. If we can get that from him at 7,200, we'll take that. So I'll have some shares there. Jakar, on the other hand, when he wins, he really doesn't score very well. He really is just kind of all punches. And I say that, and he does have, you know, fights where he's got two, three takedowns. But I mean, the guy's throwing 50 plus significant strikes a fight. His last three fights, he's thrown, it looks like, over 130 significant strikes. Just in the last two, he threw about 115. It's a bunch. He's going out there to throw punches at 9K. We need him to knock Christos out. Like, we need him to knock Giagos out early, or just put it on him and rack up a bunch of takedowns, which I don't think we'll get. So I think it's gonna be tough for him to pay off that price tag. I do like him, however. I think this is a fight, just a fight that I'm gonna more than likely stay away from. This is a card where you have to pick and choose your spots, and for me personally, I'm gonna go elsewhere with my money. I don't blame you if you want to take some shots. I mean, I'm gonna have some shots of Giagos for sure, but I'm probably not gonna have much of Jakar. Probably just a little bit, just to make me feel comfortable, just in case he does something crazy. But all right. Next up, we have a bantamweight fight. This is Corey Sandhagen going up against Rafael Assencao. This is a banger. This is a banger, chitty chitty. We got Corey Sandhagen, who's been really hyped up. He's minus 207, 8,700 on DraftKings, which I think is a discount. He's going up against Rafael Assencao, 7,500, plus 170 dog. Yeah, I mean, straight up, I mean, this one's gonna be pretty quick. Corey Sandhagen's the play here. Very simply, and I mean, there's more of a breakdown than this, but just very simply, if you look at the man's logs, you look at his fights, he's got two KOs, he's got a submission, he's got a decision. And his last fight against John Lineker, which he, I mean, I thought he was going to put John away. John didn't look too bad. The man had 120 significant strikes and two takedowns. All hands, man. This dude is all hands when, like, that night he was. Scored 100 DraftKings points at 7,700. Haas. The night before that, or the fight before that, 9,300 against Mario Bautista, 9,300. He had 119.5 DraftKings points. I don't care how expensive you are, that's optimal if you're going to score that many points. And that's why I say you're going to have to, you know, like previously, like Hannah Cypher, she's going to have to outscore some of these guys. I don't know if she can do it. So Sandhagen, I mean, so Sandhagen's the play here. I'll kind of tell you early. On the flip side, Rafael Assuncao, yeah, he's a vet, man. He's a vet. He just beat up Rob Font, Lopez. He beat Marlon Moraes in 2017. Like, dude's a vet, man. But he just doesn't score very well when he wins. Only putting up about 40 to 50 significant strikes. Not really mixing in any takedowns. He's had four in his last, like, eight fights in the last, like, almost 6 years. So, not looking for any takedowns. Basically, just looking to throw the hands. And if this is going to be that kind of fight, I think Corey Sandhagen is going to beat the hell out of him. And at 8,700, I honestly think we get a discount. I think it's Load City. So I like Corey Sandhagen here. I'll have a fair amount of him. Might have a little bit of a sense out just as a hedge play, but yeah. Next up, this is going to be the quickest breakdown of the night. We have DeVonta Smith going up against Kamah Worthy. This is another yet replacement for DeVonta Smith. I believe this is his second replacement. He might have had three in total, but this is his second replacement of the week. He said he kind of knows this guy. He's kind of fighting his friend. I'll be honest with you, it happened so late in the week. I wasn't able to do much research on Worthy. I do know, I do. I mean, I was able to do a little bit and kind of just, see what he's been doing and stuff. I just wasn't able to look at tape. I agree with what the line is. Currently, Fantasy Cruncher has it at -952. However, I am seeing it on five dimes at -1,000 currently. I mean, it's just point blank, dude should just knock this dude out. It should end early. Let me look here what the inside the distance odds is for this one. Doo, 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 doo. I'm sure it's like minus, yeah, it's -475 to end early. So Vegas thinks it's guaranteed to end early, and they think DeVonta Smith is going to do it. So it's just kind of one of those where how much do we want to have of him? Do we want to be over the field? Do we want to just be on par? I'm going to tell you, he'll probably be about 40% owned. So he'll, for every 10 lineups, he'll be in about four or five of them, right? So it's like what to do if you go under the weight and he doesn't put up a massive score, because I will say at 9,500, he will have to put up a massive score, to keep you in there. If he doesn't, and he pulls a stunt, or he just honestly doesn't get you over 100, or doesn't get you 100, that 9,500 is going to kill you. You're definitely not binking. You're not binking with 9,500 not being the highest score of the night. So that's why you always got to kind of, with these guys, the highest priced guys or girls, you always got to kind of, do I want to take that shot? How high, how heavy do I want to go on? Because if they don't have the highest score, you just shot yourself in the foot. So, really, it's just up to you about kind of where you're comfortable at with him, but 1,000% to play. Don't think about it. Don't think too hard about it. Don't get cute. All right. Next up, we have Ian Heinisch versus Derek Brunson. Derek Brunson is +122 dog. Ian Heinisch is the -147 favorite, 8,800 on DraftKings, and Derek Brunson is 7,400 on DraftKings. This is going to be a pretty good fight. I think what you see is what you get from Derek Brunson. Yes, he won his last fight against Elias Theodoru. Yes, he scored 93 points. Yes, he was probably optimal, but in my opinion, he looked terrible. I mean, they let Elias go after that fight, but Elias was out the door anyway. Like, he honestly should have put Elias out. They gave him that fight, like, kind of as a showcase fight. Like, here you go, man. We've been putting you against some tough comp. Like, here, like. You know, here you go. Here's an olive branch. He won the fight, and but just didn't look good. Just didn't look good. He's going up against Ian Heinisch here. Ian Heinisch is 2-0 in the UFC. He just beat ACJ Antonio Carlos Jr. And he was actually expected to lose that fight. Antonio Carlos Jr. was coming off of a lot of hype. But he had five advances, a takedown, only had 39 significant strikes, but it was kind of a back and forth fight. It was really close. I remember that fight. But he won the decision. He won the decision, back in May. So he's got a lot of power. Heinisch has got a lot of power. I think he'll try to keep it standing and at distance. I think Brunson, I think he leaves his head up a little bit. He'll probably leave some openings for Heinisch to finish him. It's a little sloppy wrestling he has. I mean, honestly, this could be one of those fights where it could, some, like, if you don't have enough of it, it might screw you. If you have too much of it, it might screw you. Heinisch is my play here, even though he's 8,800. I'm not super confident in that. The pricing more makes me want to play Brunson, so I'll have some shares of Brunson just because he's cheaper. I mean, he does have high upside if, he kind of just puts it all together finally, I guess. But it's a tough one to call. These next fights are definitely ones to target. All right. Next up, we have Sadiq Youssef going up against Gabriel Benitez. After I break down these fights, the next three fights will be broken down by the man himself, by Big Marley and I. I kind of mostly let Marley do his thing. Kind of let him, if you guys aren't familiar with him, or if you haven't ever heard him on a pod, I mean, Like, dude knows this shit, gives it to you straight up. And he's gonna cater to, like, I say he caters to my type of style, because, I'm especially, even when I don't mass multi-entry, I still play, especially in MMA. It's a fight, anything can happen. I hedge a lot. I hedge a lot in MMA. So a lot of, sometimes people don't like it. They're like, well, pick one guy or the other. And it's like, well, but it's a fight, man. I mean, it's a fight. If you can play 10 lineups and pick one guy and pick the other one and another, I advise you to do that because it can be crazy. So that's why we talk about fights to target a lot, and sometimes, not necessarily fighters to target. It's tough if you just want to pick on fighters, because we can't just point blank period. We can't afford everybody that we want, right? You can't pick all the best fighters. That's not how DFS works. You're gonna have to take some chances. So that's how we do that. All right, Sadiq Youssef is -272. He's 9,300 on DraftKings. And on the flip side, we have Gabriel Benitez. He's +219. He's 6,900 on DraftKings. Yeah, awesome fight here. Sadiq's looked really good in his showings. 101.5, only 79.5 against Shaymin Moraes. But that was, I mean, he looked really good. He had 73 significant strikes. He was just tagging his ass up. And that was just a good fight. Shaymin's, yeah, man. Gabriel Benitez, however, though. I mean, he just beat Humberto Bandone by TKO. He beat Jason Knight. He did lose to Enrique Barzola, back in 2017, but he's looked pretty good. He needs to finish this fight either by submission or by KO, and it's period. He needs to finish this fight by submission or KO. If he does that, he's going to score well. Sodiq, on the other hand, doesn't necessarily have to do that, but to out. But to pay off that 9,300 price tag, he will have to either end this early, or just put up a massive amount of significant strikes and end it in the second or late in the third round to give us that 40 instead of the 30. So I think it's going to be tough for him to possibly pay off that price tag. I do like him though, however, I'll have some ownership to him. Not sure how much, but I'll definitely have some ownership to him, and he's the pick here. All right, guys, the time is here. The next three fights, the first one up, we have Paulo Costa versus Yoel Romero. Definitely one of the best fights of the night. I mean, to be honest, we have three main events all coming up in a row, the latter part of this card. So definitely take advantage and watch, guys. But now we have the man, the myth, the legend, the chosen one. I mean, what else can you say about this guy? But no, really good guy. He's gonna bless us. Make sure you guys listen. If you listen closely, you might be able to hear a few subtle hints he's trying to throw you guys. But yeah, take a listen. Let me know what you think after this, because we do talk about the last three cards. This will be the last you hear from me, so that'll be the end of the pod. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. I'd love to have Marley on again. If you guys have any suggestions, go.
All right, so yeah, again, if you guys have been listening, I've been telling you for a couple of weeks and on Twitter that we're going to have Big Marley joining us. I have the legend here with us. He's going to talk to us just about a few of the fights and just help us break it down. So thanks for joining us, Big Marley.
Hey man, no problem. Hopefully I can help you guys make some money this weekend on DraftKings. We got a lot of money up top.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You got UFC 241. Yeah, a lot of money to be made. So let's get right into it. I'll just kind of talk about the fighter. I mean, like price-wise, that kind of stuff. I'll give you the floor, and then I'll just piggyback off of you if that's cool.
Sounds good, man.
All right, so we'll start off with the Costa Romero fight. So we got Paulo Costa versus Yoel Romero right now, and I took this off of Five Dimes. Looks like Yoel's -150. Coming back, Costa's +130. On DraftKings here, Costa's 7,600 on DraftKings, and Romero's 8,600 on DraftKings. And I did see it looks like the inside the distance for the fight is at -365, which I think is one of the higher ones. I haven't gone through it with the fine comb, but I think that's one of the higher ones we have on the night. So what do you think, man?
Yeah, man, it's going to be, I think, an important one to target this week on DraftKings. And it's definitely one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most because these guys are just freaks.
Yeah.
Best bodies in the UFC, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's not going to take a lot for me, the one of them, to put the other away. So I think there is a good chance this one ends inside the distance. And the winner's probably going to score highly. These two don't like each other, so they're probably going to come in there hot and
Yep.
swinging. And if Costa wins, man, at 7.6K, I think he's going to be pretty much a lock for the optimal lineup just because he's so cheap. And he throws so many punches and bunches that if he wins, he's probably knocking Yoel out. So I think if you like Costa, he's one of the best plays on the board. But my preferred play is going to be Romero. Costa's never fought anybody like Romero, and Romero has so many more ways to win. I think if he goes in there and looks for takedowns, I mean, we've seen Costa get taken down by way worse opponents. Well, he can get up to the floor. I mean, I think he can end this fight. And I think he can end it in any round, first, second. And if it gets to the third, man, nobody's scarier than third round Yoel Romero. So I think he puts it away at some point. But he is not a lock for the optimal lineup at 8.6K because a lot of the times when he does score in the third round, he's scoring like 78 points, 74 points, something like that. And that's not going to get it done. We are going to need him to put more of an output out or finish earlier in this fight for him to be on that 100K lineup. But I think he's got just as good a shot as anybody at that. So I like Romero a good bit here, but this is basically an all-in fight. Most of my lineups is going to have one or the other in it. If I'm making 10, I'd probably say something like 6-7 Yoel and then 3-4 Costa, something like that. But I wouldn't touch this fight with cash because they both have such low floors where I really don't want to trust that with my cash lineup. I'll just go all in on GPPs and pick other safer plays for cash games.
Yep. I really couldn't agree with you more. It's actually when you were talking about the fight, and right before you said it, I'm thinking like, yep, 7,600. I think he'll do in a victory, because I actually like Costa here. But really, I like him more for DraftKings purposes. See, like, as far as just the straight-up fight, I'm with you. I think Romero, I mean, I like him there just from a straight fight perspective. But for DraftKings, just because of that price, man, I mean, if Costa, if he does it, he goes out there, scores 100 or scores anything close to it, he's going to bink. He's going to be in that bink. It's almost a lock. I'm definitely with you. It'll be all in for me. I think personally, I probably will be a little bit heavier on Costa. I'm not sure really where I'm going to go yet. But I think I like Costa here just because of the pricing.
I think it's a solid move. I mean, I'm not a big fan of a lot of underdogs on this card. So I think Costa has one of the highest ceilings as an underdog. So I have no issue with that.
Yep. And before we get into the next fight, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not sure how you played it last week, but last week, as I was going through the fights and as I'm looking through these ones too, it seemed like it was really top heavy as far as my DraftKings plays. You know, like the last three or four fights, man, basically is where a lot of my money was. It's kind of looking like it might be a little bit that way this week too. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Yep. All right. So next up, we have Anthony Showtime Pettis versus Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is 7,900 on DraftKings. He is the +110 dog right now. Coming back, Pettis is -130. He is 8,300 on DraftKings, unless I can't read my own writing. The interesting thing about this one is, I think this might end early. I think they're talking a lot of shit back and forth. Pettis has been in, like, he's been in some good form, man. I mean, he's been showing a lot of power lately. I mean, he's looked back, you know. I think this has a chance to end early, but Vegas actually has it as a +160. So, I mean, they're not too confident, but they don't think it ends early. What do you think about this fight?
Man, I don't know. This is the closest fight on the card. I'm not sure how it's going to end. I could see it going both ways. I picked it to go to a decision just because it's so close, and I didn't know who to pick to be the finisher.
You think they'll cancel out?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I just wasn't so sure on this fight. So when I'm really not sure, I just kind of lean towards a split decision. Yeah. But I like Nate here. I think if Pettis was going to win, he's more likely to finish. I think he has more power in his hands, his kicks for sure, just more ways to finish. But if Diaz is going to get just putting it on to Pettis where he can't handle all the punches and bunches, and he's just going to drown him and take him into deep water and drown him. But I don't know if he can do that to Pettis or not in three rounds.
Yeah.
At 170, I mean, he's definitely got a shot, but we haven't seen him in 3 years, so it's hard to trust him. I like Diaz on the ground more. He's going to have a 4-inch reach here. He's a southpaw. And on a card where I really don't like a whole lot of underdogs, he's going to be one of my favorites. I think he probably has the best shot to win as an underdog on this card. And I am going to pick him to get the win. I just think the volume is going to be too much for Pettis overall. And whether that helps him get a late TKO or a judge's decision, I think it's going to get him a win. And when he wins, I mean, he scores highly. Almost all of his wins are over 100 points.
Right.
He even scored 149 points with a striking decision over Cerrone. Like, so this guy definitely has a ceiling on him. So I like Diaz more here, but it's a side that I mean, it's probably don't want to target both sides of because, like I said, we haven't seen this dude in 3 years. We don't know what he's bringing to the table. We don't know how motivated this guy is. And Pettis is motivated coming off a knockout win over Wonder Boy, so he can go out there and get a knockout over Diaz too, and that could put him on the optimal. So I don't like this fight as much as the Romero Costa fight. It's not an all-in fight for me, but I am going to be targeting both sides. And I like Diaz more. He's cheaper, and I have a hard time seeing him not get 10x of his 7.9k salary. So give me Diaz here, and hopefully it's the same Diaz that we remember from years ago.
I know, right? That's the big thing here. It's like we don't really know what we're gonna get, and especially in this fight game and in the UFC, it's like I've been telling like some of my listeners, like, you know, try not to show too much recency bias, because from fight to fight you might see a different guy, especially if he's a young guy. Diaz isn't a young guy, but still, I mean, we haven't seen him in 3 years. Like, seriously, we really have no idea. He says he's been training, you know what I mean? Like, where he's been training, I'm not really too sure. But he says he's been training and he's been around it. So, but yeah, I agree. Diaz is definitely my pick here. I'm glad that you said that towards the end, because I was going to ask you if Diaz is more of like probably a cash play. I know you don't want to give too much away, but you kind of, you know, but as you were talking through it, you mentioned that you like the fight, period. So that kind of answered my question.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to pick this fight in cash, it's definitely going to be Diaz.
Right.
But with cash, I do like to be a little bit more confident in my plays. Him being the cheaper guy definitely makes him a cash game playable. But since I really don't have a strong read on him getting the win, I don't know if I could put him in the cash game spot or not. A lot of the times I do like, I'll throw like the cheapest guy in the whole card on there just to have value and be able to afford the more expensive guys. Don't really love that for this card. Maybe you could do it with like Escobar or something like that.
Yeah.
But usually when I go that route, the mid-range guys like this don't end up making my cash game run.
Yeah, for sure. Sweet, man. All right, so next up in the main event here, we have Stipe Miocic going up against Daniel DC Cormier. This is for the heavyweight title. This is a rematch. Stipe is +115. DC is -135. I actually really like where this fight is priced. You could probably speak on that, but $8,500 for DC, and then we get Stipe at $7,700 on DraftKings. I mean, it usually really doesn't matter too much for me because, I mean, a lot of these times it's a target fight, but -365 inside the distance. I'm interested to see what you think about this one.
Yeah, this is an all-in fight right here, man, because of their price tags, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Like, if one of them was 9.5K, then we could avoid them. Maybe they're not going to pay that off, but at 8.5K, DC's for sure going to pay that off in any kind of win. I mean, if it's a decision, he's going to get enough takedowns, enough strikes. He's going to pay that off. And if Miocic wins at 7.7K, I mean, he's right there with Costa as the best underdog on the card. Like, those two have 100-plus point potential if they're going to win, and you have to target both of them. So, again, I prefer the favorite here. I do like Cormier to get the win. I think he has more ways to win. We saw him win already. Scored 102 in that first fight. If he does that again, he's going to be a lock for the optimal lineup. So I do prefer Cormier here, but it's not by like a ton. So what I've been doing is I've been throwing Cormier into like when I'm building lineups, I throw him in. And if I'm trying to get up to somebody else that I really like, I'll just go down from Cormier to Miocic and I'll get that other person in there. But I'm pretty much using this in every one of my lineups because of their price tags. They are going to be on the optimal lineup. I would be shocked if somebody won $100,000 in this fight wasn't on there. So it's pretty much all in. And I think in my mind, I'm looking like 60-40, something like that, Cormier. Yep. And I do like stacking this in cash because it's such a close fight that if somebody's going to put this in their cash lineup solo, I mean, I think maybe they're going to be wrong. Whoever that is, I'd rather bank on them being wrong. And I'll throw them both into my cash lineup, lock in that 100-plus points and the winner, where if they choose wrong, they're probably dead.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with you pretty much everywhere there. I mean, all the way around. If regardless, this fight just needs to be in your cash lineup. I mean, I more so kind of, because I mean, like I said, I agree with all your points there. I really don't have any different take. I kind of want to talk about just the last fight, because I've been watching it. When I first saw it, I kind of thought it was fluky. Is it just me? Like, I was like, he, like, what the hell did he hit? You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I feel like DC kind of even thought it was fluky. Like, he was shocked that he went down from it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Nelson was expecting that at all. And I think he'll try to keep his fight more at range and not let DC get in that punch as much.
Yep.
But I'm looking forward to it, man. I really don't have, like, a super strong opinion on this one other than it's going to score highly. So I want a piece of it.
Yep, I agree, man. Well, shoot, I can't thank you enough. That's all we got for you, man. You know, hopefully you guys learned a lot. Hopefully you guys listened, because he dropped some nuggets in here. And, you know, he didn't have to do this. He's very generous to come and grace us and bless us with some knowledge here. So, my man, Big Marley, thank you, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. Good luck to you, all your listeners this weekend. Hopefully somebody listening takes down that 100K. If so,
yeah, man.
Strange shots.
Yeah, man, and good luck to you as well. Let's not forget, you're in that, I always forget the name of it, because it's like, is it like the Knockout King tournament?
But yeah, I believe so. Knockout King. I always just call them qualifiers.
Yeah, man. Good vibes heading your way, and let's rock it out. Let's do it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Good luck. Thanks for having me on again.
All right, peace.
All right, take care.